This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at the First Baptist Church of Algiers, formerly in New Orleans, but many of you know that we were had to get out of there because of Hurricane Katrina. And now we're in Walker, Louisiana, but the Old Trailblazer still riding out on old Dan, giving out the gospel, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. And we're bringing you a study now, have been for a while, on Satan, demon possession, all of those things. Satan and his kingdom, Satan and his grand aim, and then Satan the old trickster, and we're looking at those things. And today, at this time, we're here now at Satan and his reign or his authority. Listen now, we showed you in our last study that Satan has a well-organized kingdom, and it was really, it's amazing if you think about it. A well-organized kingdom that covers the entire universe. And our subject at this time is Satan and his rule. Everywhere you turn today, you face the concept of the average individual, pastor, preacher, intellectual person, that Satan is just a little tin soldier, has no power, has a long red flannel underwear suit and a pitchfork, and if your kiddies are not good, the devil's going to come get them. And listen, and then his name is used in blasphemy and everything else. The average concept is that you can just holler frog and he'll jump. No, all of that is satanic in itself. If Satan can make you minimize his power and cry him down, then he has the advantage of you. Did you know that? For us to cope with an enemy, we must know the enemy's strength. We must know his strategy. We must know his plans and purposes. And that's the purpose of these studies, to attempt to reveal Satan's plans in your life and mine, his purpose, his power. The Bible says, beware of the snare of the devil. All of those things, my friend. Now let's look again at Satan and who he was and where he came from. Now this is quite interesting. Many of you may not be aware of these things, but let's just listen. Would you do that? I'm trying to lay the foundation. And I told you before, I'm not going to be in a hurry with these studies. I just want to lay a foundation that you may become grounded in some great facts and truths regarding Satan that you may have never known, had no way of knowing. And before we begin the study, to study the manifestations of his power. Now listen, God created Satan, the fairest and wisest of all his creatures, and made him prince of the world and the power of the air. In Ezekiel 28:12 says, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom. God created Satan full of wisdom. Therefore, his chief work would be in expounding the will and the ways of God. Follow me closely now. We may jump a creek here. Follow me. Then in Ezekiel 28:14 says, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, which reveals Satan's office as a prophet and a priest. This put him as the head, the ruler, over all of God's created beings, and he was to lead the worship of the universe. Then, what you see, you think about that. Satan is a religious person. He's not an anti-religious. No, he was a religious person. Listen, in Ezekiel 28:13 says that he was placed in Eden, which means the region of delight. It further says he was placed in Eden, the garden of God. Eden was a district and the garden of God, an enclosure within that district. Then in Ezekiel 28:14 says that Satan was upon the holy mountain of God, which meant he dwelt in the presence of Jehovah God. Do you see what position Satan occupied before his fall? Let that soak in at how powerful he was. No, and he did not lose one bit of that power. Therefore, we could draw this conclusion that Satan was the great high priest of his realm, according to Ezekiel 28:13, dwelt in a splendid palace of gold and precious stone near to the place of God's presence. Now, brother, that opens up something to him, doesn't it? God made him a ruler, made him a king, placed him over all his creation, making him a prophet, priest, and king. Are you beginning to see just a little of what a majestic being Satan was before his fall, what a lofty place he occupied, what a powerful creature he was, and spoke with authority of a king sitting in authority and power next to God himself. And I've had preachers write me and say, Pastor Trailblazer, do you mean to tell me that Satan is that powerful? I mean to tell you he is, and that's what God's word said. Even after his fall, Jude tells us there in the 9th verse of Jude, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring a railing accusation, but said, the Lord Jehovah rebuke thee. Here Michael, even after Satan's fall, Michael the archangel recognized the power and authority of Satan. One day Michael will meet him in a battle and cast him out of the heavens, according to Revelation 12:7-9. Now, I want you to listen. I'm going to be try to be as precise as I am. And now you listen. Well, while you're at it, pray for me. Pray for the old trailblazer. I have to contend with Satan also. When I sit here behind this microphone, I'm contending with Satan, my friend. I'm spreading light about him. I'm exposing him, and he don't like it. No, he doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like for me to do it. And he'd give me every hindrance. He'd put every snare in my path. He'll make everything in the world to take away from my thinking process and everything just because he hates God's man. He hates God's word. Now, listen, when Satan abused his high office of prophet, priest, and king, he involved the whole of his providence in sin and this earth in a ruin, according to Genesis 1:2. In order to restore order among God's creation, the Lord Jesus Christ himself came forth from the Godhead to take the misused power into his own hands and hold it until he puts all of his enemies under his feet, and to obliterate all sin from the face of the universe. Now, Satan is trying to cry that down everywhere. The Lord Jesus is now exercising the office of prophet, the priest, but one day he'll come forth to reign as king. He'll reign until he puts all of his enemies under his feet, according to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15:25. We've often been asked this question. When the Lord Jesus Christ came the first time, why didn't he set up a kingdom and rule as king? Now, here's the reason why he never set up a kingdom when he first came. If he had at once stepped to the throne as king when they clamored to make him king, saying, here he is, let's make him king. If the Lord Jesus Christ had stepped to the throne as king and assumed the scepter, the result would have been utter destruction to all living because all have sinned. And whosoever is sinful must be cast out of his kingdom into unquenchable fire. Therefore, it was necessary for him first to put away the iniquity of those who should be saved. Now, you ever thought about that? You ever give that any thought? The Lord had to come. He had to suffer. He had to be crucified, buried, risen again. Now, the Lord came into the world to put away sin by him sacrifice of himself. And when he did that, he returned to heaven with his blood to appear in the presence of God. And when the last one of God's elect, now you listen, get this back. Would you do this? Dr. Copeland said, get this. He returned to heaven with his blood to appear in the presence of God for us. For you, my friend. Awakened sinner, for you. Lost sinner, for you. Individual whom the Lord has saved, he appeared for you. And when the last one of God's elect has been called out and saved, he'll come to earth again to take the power from Satan, my friend, from the hand of Satan. He won't do it by preaching of the gospel. No, he'll do it in his person by the exercise of his mighty power. After destroying that which cannot be healed, he will bring back the residue of creation to purity and to order. Now, if we can see that great truth, then we can walk with him, preaching and teaching and praying, giving and suffering, that his elect may be called out. That's the purpose of the old Trailblazer broadcast, sending out the gospel, that the elect of God may be called out. And the Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Bible says, go ye into all the ends of the earth and preach the gospel. That's what we're doing, my friend. We're not called upon to make this world a better place to live for infidels to live in. We're not called to go out and politic for candidates. No, we're not called to do that. That's the most dastardly thing I ever heard, for a man who calls himself a minister of God to run for some public office like that and expose himself to the ridicule and criticism of every Tom, Dick, and Harry and devil and everybody else. No, bless your heart, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to spend my time trying to make this community a better place for infidels and atheists and agnostics and unsaved religionists to live in, but I will give up my life and every drop of blood to preach the gospel, that the Holy Spirit may call out God's elect and get them ready to go home. That's what the Lord does. When the Holy Spirit begins to deal with your heart, He's getting you ready. He's grooming you to go home to be with the Lord. He's taking away all your sin, washing you in the blood. Now let that soak in. This world order we see now is to be destroyed, lock, stock, and barrel. Not improved. People think we make this world a better place to live. You put that down and hold it. This world order, every vestige of it is to be destroyed. It's under judgment, and it's not to be improved. This old earth is to be burned up and dissolved, and God will create a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, my friend, won't that be a great time? Are you looking forward to go home to be with the Lord? The old tribulator is. Apostle John said, come quickly, Lord Jesus. The old trailblazer is tired. He's tired of this old flesh. You tired of the flesh? Aren't you tired of the flesh, my friend? Aren't you tired of those things? So we're just here every day, Monday through Friday, to the same station, bringing you God's message, the old trailblazer. And I wish you would write me and let me hear from you. My mailing address, the old trailblazer, post office box, 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785, and my website, radiomissions.org. So you write me, let me hear from me, pray for me. So until next time, it's goodbye and God bless you.